Welcome to Red Alert Radio. Grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, everybody. It's Shane Henderson here. I'm chair of the Henderson Massey local board and proudly elected under the Labor Party banner. Brilliant to present to you today. It's an exciting time of year. That is the time when we're right butting up against elections, and you know, that really produces a lot of discussion around the various issues in Auckland, and that's a very exciting time, and we can have really good debates about that. And I'm here with a good friend of mine and a colleague here, and I'll get you to introduce yourself, actually, Peter. Take it away, mate.
Thanks a lot, Shane. I'm pleased to be here too. I'm Peter Haynes. I'm the chair of the Albert Eden Local Board, proudly elected under the City Vision banner, which is very transparently Green, Labour and Progressive Independence.
Very good. Very good. Yes, we're recording this actually in Mount Albert in your Rohe. I noticed it was a beautiful place when I came off the motorway there, and I got this feeling of brilliant warmth and calm. Would that be a local board produced thing?
Oh, absolutely, Shane. Yeah, we've been working on this. And if you go and look at our parks, you'll see they're beautifully kept. They're yes. The envy of many.
My understanding is you've got the second best parks in Auckland behind Henderson Massey, of course.
I thought we were first equal, but yeah, no, we've got that has been a priority for us, I got to say. So we are actually genuinely very proud of what we've done in the way of playgrounds and parks.
Good work.
As I think you have too, Paz, and so on. Yep.
Yes, very good. Yeah. So we'll just have a bit of a freeform discussion for the next sort of half an hour, and I'll just get you to maybe introduce yourself and what got you into politics. So, yeah, that's your first question, really. Tell us a bit more about your background.
Hell, getting into politics, you've got to go back to when I was at school.
All right.
I don't know.
Was it black and white in those days, or...?
I forget, it's that long ago. But yeah, no, somebody called Muldoon, wasn't there? Yeah.
Right.
And I guess I discovered that I didn't really share a lot of Muldoon's values, so I quickly gravitated to the Labour Party.
Cool.
I thought you'd say that. Yeah, no, so... generally progressive values, a concern for people, especially the less well-advantaged, you know, the people who need a hand up. And Labour's always been the one to do that, so that's been my natural home. But I have to say, and you may not like this, you know, I mean, sometimes I might have even voted Green in recent years because, hell, I think people are catching on now, but climate change is a real thing and it's so urgent, you know. So, I had a varied career. I started out as an energy economist with a spell in the beehive.
Wow.
I was an employment advocate. That is to say, I negotiated big contracts for lots of people for the PSA for a while, but then I got into academia and worked in a number of tertiary institutions, including Auckland and Waikato universities, teaching management for my sins. But all good stuff and all good preparation, I think, for a spell as a local board member.
Absolutely. So you've really got a feel for the workers and their plight and wanting to change things.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the main drivers, you know, is looking after. These days, it includes a lot of new migrants.
Mm.
We have quite a few in Albert Eden local ward area. So, basically looking after the people who would otherwise be missing out. As you know, we've had seriously increasing inequality in New Zealand
Absolutely.
Over the last few decades, and a lot of people really are hurting.
Mm. So take me right back. How long have you been doing this job?
9 years. So
Wow. As
you probably know, only Julia Parfitt up in Hibiscus Coast and Bays and I are the only surviving local board chairs from 2010. And hopefully she'll be elected and I'm standing down, so then there won't be any of the originals.
Right.
9 years now, and it's been good. And sometimes not so good, but mostly good. You know, as you know, I'm sure, it has its moments, especially, you know, when you're sitting in something like Potter's Park, we upgraded. It's now a seriously good regional destination park. and just listening to the kids enjoying themselves in the summer and looking at the hundreds of people there from all over the region and
enjoying
families and stuff, enjoying themselves, and you think, yep, you know, it's all worth it.
Yeah, that's right. I feel the same way about Royal Reserve and Massey, for anyone out there in West Auckland listening. Yes. You've kind of answered my question a little bit, but over the 9 years, what would be some of your sort of favourite accomplishments that you've done? Because quite a lot of work there.
Yeah, you know, apart from Potter's Park, which I led. There was, the eco neighbourhoods would have to be. And, the officers are very kind, and so it was my idea, but, you know, it was really a complex process of negotiation with them. But so we developed this community-led bottom-up approach to sustainability, which is working fabulously, you know, and you should look at it out in Henderson, Mass.
Yes, that's wonderful.
So we've got 18 groups, and you know, you've got between mostly around 10 to 20 people with 2, 3, 4, 5 sustainability projects. We give them a little bit of funding, provide them with facilitation, and they also run joint workshops on things like composting and so on. So, yeah, that was an early response to climate change. And more recently, I instigated business sustainability programs. What are the other things I'm particularly proud of? In the local economic space, you know, we were first in with a program around microtourism. We did an audit of our village centres, their online presence and so on, and gave them some funding to improve their online presence, but also gather history and so on, because a lot of tourists these days are after a more authentic local experience. And so we've been helping our village centres to take advantage of that.
It's wonderful. I think in West Auckland we could steal some of these ideas.
Yeah, anytime. Look,
wonderful.
We're not in competition.
Yes, of course, yeah. Oh, that is fantastic. Well done. So let's look ahead a little bit. So how's everything going at the moment?
Oh, we have a few controversies, as I think a lot of people do in Auckland.
Mm.
When people talk to me about this, I say, yeah, it all boils down to Auckland's biggest issue, growth and lack of infrastructure. We're playing infrastructure catch-up, and particularly in central Auckland, whereas, you know, the previous city council didn't invest as it should have in infrastructure. And we've got a hell of a lot of growth, as you have out west. But we, you know, Albert Eden still has a very high level of growth. We're the second most densely populated local board area outside of Waitemata, immediately adjacent. Mm. That means that we have things like the biggest shortage of sports field capacity. We have least amount of open space per capita jointly with Waitemata, you know, and nobody's giving us any money to address these issues. So that creates an awful lot of tension. And every time we try to make better use of something, we get change rage. It's difficult because a lot of people can't see that the unprecedented growth. Auckland had more growth last year, I think, than the rest of the country. The unprecedented growth does mean that you have to make some changes, and and the same, of course, goes for the unitary plan and building up and not out.
That's right. It is hard, in my experience, to get a sense of scale across to people sometimes. Mm. I mean, just from Henderson Massey's example, our current population would be, I think, the sixth or seventh largest city in New Zealand, if it was a city itself.
I think the sixth.
Yeah, sixth, I think, yeah.
And we're not far behind.
That's right, and catching up. I understand the growth is huge in your board area.
Yep.
And being a cricket tragic myself, I'd pick up on the sports fields issue because we worked a lot on the Auckland Cricket Report, which basically said that we've got a shortage of fields for people in Henderson Massey, but the massive, massive issue there in Albert Eden.
Well, across the isthmus, I think 13 or 14 pitches short.
And that's an example of something that's really quite alarming. We've got a lot more people, not a lot of green space, not a lot of money to fix the problem either.
So making better use of it has been a top priority for the local board.
Yeah. And how are things going? Is the other sports community and the various clubs and things like that, we're coming along with it?
Well, we've just about exhausted our potential for upgrading our sports fields, which is why we had to look at Chamberlain Park. And Tamahere has chosen to make that a key plank of his campaign. And sorry for laughing, but it's hard not to laugh when you mention his name.
No, I was planning to talk about Chamberlain Park quite a lot, actually, as well.
Well, the funny thing is we're sitting here about in the old Unitech grounds, about 150 metres away from Chamberlain Park. Very soon, this where we're sitting will be an apartment block. And there will be very little, there's lots of green space here now. I'm looking out the window at green space. There will be very little green space when they put up to 10,000 more people on the site.
Yeah.
It's 4,000, you know, residences. There will be very little green space in an area which otherwise is almost impoverished, except for this huge area just 150 metres away, which is currently for the exclusive use of golfers who pay.
Yeah.
Now, so we took a look at this and said, okay, why don't the golfers share this big green space with other people, because we've also got that desperate need for sports fields. As I mentioned, you know, we have a sports club coming along to our meeting this afternoon who are going to tell us about just how they have to turn away junior players and stuff, you know, because they're paying for, I think in your area, they're paying for school sports fields in your area. Not that the schools can really afford to have other people playing on their sports fields anyway, mostly. And they shouldn't be having to do that because, you know, it's a volunteer organisation. It's not professional. They're having to raise funds to pay for sports fields way out of our area.
Yes.
And that's the reality. But some people have denied that. But rather than concentrate on the awful disinformation that's out there, I'd just like to say, I think the local people recognise that, you know, Chamberlain Park is really good for them. So they'll get a wonderful new little park to compensate for all the lost green space and stuff and the Unitech development, and we'll need it anyway for all those people. Lots of walking and cycling connections too, especially through the restored stream and wetlands. Because the Waititiko, which is renowned for being polluted, runs at the moment right across the golf course in a straight concrete ditch, and it's dead, more or less. I did see one tuna, but so we want to spend a couple of million dollars, which is not ratepayers' money as it happens, restoring it.
Yeah.
And then there's the sports fields and so on, and should it come to it, because the school, we're working hard to avoid this, but the Mount Albert Grammar School does want the aquatic centre off its site because it's grown to 3,000 plus students. It's one of the biggest secondary schools in the country.
Yes.
So, you know, if we have to move the aquatic centre, we'll need somewhere to put it. Although we really don't want to move the aquatic centre at all, as you can imagine.
I understand.
Yeah. So
don't get me started.
So there's an awful lot, you know, that's really great for the local people. I'm hoping that the local people can see who the local people are who are looking out for their interests and not just trying to make political advantage out of the golfers not wanting to share this huge green space.
Yeah, because it definitely has been a region-wide political football, and everyone and their grandma's talking about it from Kumeu to Waiuku.
Oh, yeah, especially out in your area. A lot, an awful lot of the golfers there come down the motorway. Yep.
They do, they do. And even though we've got some fantastic golf courses in my area and just outside, Redwood Park is a good one in Swanson there. So what's the answer for Chamberlain Park? Set aside, what's the vision?
Well, as I said, the vision is a beautiful space which has not just golf, and you know, we'd like to improve the golf offer in many respects with a high-quality driving range and practice facilities, as well as a short course. And, you know, most of the casual golf played on Chamberlain Park now is short, nine holes. So not just the golf, but also sports fields, maybe an aquatic centre if necessary. As I said, the stream and wetlands restoration, which is very important, improved cycle and walking connections, and a nice neighbourhood park with a nice playground. And the people down there deserve it. Between where we're sitting in the park, there are all these tired state houses and stuff. And those, we were talking earlier about the people who miss out and who have borne the brunt of all that inequality over the last few decades. And we're talking about those people. And they deserve something better than what they've got at the moment.
I understand there was a golf report. I don't remember the name of it. What's the results of that? Is golf well catered for in Auckland?
Well, it's interesting. It's a changing thing. So a number of golf courses have closed down, as you know, which has taken, I think, most of the spare capacity out.
Land-intensive sport, after all.
It is. And so I can appreciate that, Golf New Zealand, they're trying to sort of cope with increasing population, as we were just discussing. But also it's, valuable land. And, housing nibbles away at the edges of many of these golf courses. But they also recognise, it's the regional golf facilities.
That's report, right, yeah.
Does actually say that, you know, short courses are part of the answer for the future, because people don't have the time these days. Many people don't have the time to invest in 18 holes of golf. You know, it's a lot of time. Same with bowls too, as you probably know.
Yes, I wish I had the time for these things. It sounds wonderful.
Well, let's see how the election goes.
Hey, none of that.
I'm thinking myself, because being a progressive in a largely, you know, it's part of the Epsom electorate. You know, I never get elected by that much. So every election is a big test. I was thinking of myself, not you. People just don't have that much time these days. Short course golf is increasing in popularity.
Way in the future.
The U.S. Golf Association, for instance, they have a major Play 9 strategy. It's an integral, you know, a key part of their strategy for the future. Mm. So, you know, there's definitely a future there for the short course golf.
I find it interesting as an outsider, and probably with the luxury of not being having to deal with some people that can be quite angry about this sometimes. But I think it's a really good example of the story of Auckland, as you were saying.
It is.
Auckland City, for many, many decades, not investing in capital work.
Yep.
And now Auckland Council, as a general body, having to pick up the tab for that and try their best to fix the problem. And meanwhile, in places like Waitakere, where there was investment, being asked to take on more growth, and communities saying, look, we need investment for this growth.
Yeah.
And Auckland Council saying, well, actually, no, we've got other... We've got huge problems over on the isthmus we've got to fix. And so that's a big challenge to balance all of those things at
once.
I'm
not sure they've been giving us that much money, apart from the big Central Interceptor project.
Right. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'll avoid calling it a poo pipe or something. But, you know, but that's actually not paid for by the ratepayers.
No.
But so really the only money we've been getting in Albert Eden has been around the sports field upgrades.
Mm.
And hell, we need them. We have the biggest shortfall in sports field capacity, you know. I mean, an urgent need to do that, and we've done pretty much every sports field now that we can. There are only one or two. And as it happens, you know, we're not actually solving the shortfall.
Yes.
We're just treading water, and once we've upgraded every sports field that we can, then we'll just start going backwards again.
Yeah, basically wearing out your sticking plaster supply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well put.
But that was, you know, the difficulties of working in local board. Contrary to some opinion, we don't have a lot of money.
We're called upon to
fix deficiencies, not just within strictly local board things, but also central government and local government and other arms. You know, the community expect us to step up, and fair enough to them. But sometimes money's a big issue, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's no secret. Auckland Council can't borrow much more.
No.
And, you know, things like the America's Cup and the CRL increase, only part of which was a blowout. Really just make it that much more difficult. I feel for Phil. You know, he took on this Herculean task. I felt for him when he stood. You know, I thought, oh, God, you know, he's an old friend of mine. I thought,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Would I wish this on anybody, really? But then I thought, if anybody's going to do it, Phil is. And, he deserves credit for going out and getting serious money from government, more than anybody else ever has, to fix our transport problems. And despite what some people have said, actually we had more building consents in the past year than ever before. So, you know, housing, another tick. You know, and then we're investing a hell of a lot more, especially out west in terms of Kauri dieback.
Yes.
We're investing far more in the environment than ever before, you know, another tick. And those are the big issues that people voted him for.
Yeah.
But, hell, he's had to do all of that in the situation where we can't really increase the rates hardly at all, and we can't borrow much at all, you know. It's just so people need to recognise that, you know, it's been a struggle.
Yeah. And so it's safe to say that we both agree that Phil Goff's got a very challenging job. Hugely challenging.
Hugely.
And delivered some great results, as you're saying. So how... let's talk sideways a little bit into some of the fun stuff. Let's talk about campaigns.
They're not fun.
No, they're not, no.
Well,
no.
They can be.
No, we just put up our big signs. Did you get out there and swing your hammer?
I did, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. And he's now eight, but seven-year-old son, yeah, he was very keen.
Great.
So I let him punch a few staples and...
start him young.
Yeah, you do.
So how's your campaign going?
Oh, you know, it's hard to know. We've got the distraction of Tamahere making an issue out of Chamberlain Park and totally not recognising any of the benefits for the local people and spreading more disinformation. And then there's Eden Park, you know, our opposition are trying to make a political issue out of that, even though we all support it and we all want to see it continue, and I can't imagine it not.
Yeah,
actually, you know, the idea that Eden Park could fall over is just ridiculous.
Mm.
And I feel for Eden Park, and you know, the idea of building that in that location and then saddling it with a huge debt was stupid anyway. You know, we're all in favour of putting it on a sound financial footing that shouldn't really need rock concerts, but. Yeah, you know, so there are those distractions. And I have to say, I enjoyed the previous elections more, and some of the people I've spoken to have. There's a lot more of the Trump stuff, and not just from Tamahere, than ever before, you know, just saying, making stuff up and saying whatever. So, yeah, I'm sad to say this, but, it is getting a little less fun than it used to be.
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough campaign, and I'd say the same in the West. But what gets you through is generally the people of your area know you.
Totally.
And they know the issues and they know where you stand and we go from there.
Yeah, at the end of the day you have to trust that the people understand the issues and that they can see through people who are just making stuff up and so on, you know. They recognise the worth of all the work that you've been putting in.
Yeah. I've got a huge amount of faith in that.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. It's worked so far. Hoping it continues to.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the other maybe big issues and hot campaign items out in Albert Eden? Tell me more about kind of your platform and what you're looking to do.
Well, you know, the hot issues I've think I've just been through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tackling climate change is going to be my big thing. You know, I want to expand eco-neighbourhoods. One thing that is new that should interest you, given what happened last year on April the 10th, is, you know, we all took emergency management, I have to say, a little bit for granted in the past, because there wasn't going to be an earthquake or a volcanic eruption anytime soon, probably, you know. But with climate change, of course, now megastorms are a real thing, and we could have one in the next few years, and April the 10th last year was just a taster. I went without power for 3 or 4 days, and that was enough, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever want to see something like that hit, say, central Auckland, and the way it hit out in Monaco last year. So we came very close to something that would have been utterly devastating and so on. So we have to build our community resilience. And I think that's where my community-led philosophy, you know, I'm a strong believer, obviously, in community-led initiatives and projects. So if we can leverage off the eco-neighbourhoods and stuff and start building real community resilience, and I think there is some urgency around that, but nobody else... Or maybe you know, a lot of other people haven't sort of cottoned on to just how unprepared we could be in the event of something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, it's building.
That's tough. You know, you've mentioned you've got a young son. I've got a young son as well.
Yeah.
And we need, I mean, climate change is such a motivator for the likes of us.
It is, totally. Look, yeah. I don't know about you, but Felix overheard the radio news earlier this year and said, "Dad, what's climate change?" And it broke my heart.
You know?
I mean, it's the hardest thing I think I've had to do, was explain to him what sort of future he's looking at. And so now he lectures me, and I'm just about to buy a hybrid or an electric car.
Great.
Because he lectures me all the time about it. So when I look at what schools are doing now, we've got some magnificent schools in our area, as I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're teaching the kids sustainability and stuff, and I think, yeah, maybe there's hope for the future, because our generation, my generation, I shouldn't say, my generation in particular, has really let down our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, it's not just the future, it's actually the present. I mean, you
totally
brought up April the 10th, it's a terrifying thing. I grew up in Kelston, and to see Newland Town Centre underwater, which was where I would go nearly every day, I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah, well, I just read this morning, Indonesia is actually moving its capital.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have to, with climate change.
Sure.
Yeah, so
to move an entire capital city—that's
it's going to cost a lot of money to relocate to Borneo.
Wow, that's crazy. And the eco neighbourhood stuff—I think that's a good example of this is not just a central government issue. And people sort of, I think, look at what I can do individually, which is great. Look at what central government can do, but local government's got a huge important role there, and totally, even at a local board level as well, and I want to commend you for that great work.
Oh, well, thank you. But look, there are so many things that we're much better equipped to do, you know, that the council's looking at doing in this space, because we know the communities and we can support. So I, you know, one of the key issues I think next term will be actually improving and the role of local boards within Auckland Council.
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree, because when you're on the governing body, we'll be looking to you for support. You will understand why it's utterly important that local boards have a greater role, particularly in areas like, you know, responding to climate change and emergency management and so on. We're the best equipped to do it.
Yep. Yeah, you can hold me to that, Peter, no worries.
I shall.
Yes, good. I mean, local boards, I mean, just to bring it home to people out there, this election's huge. You should definitely go and vote for it, because local boards in particular, they are your front-facing, coal-faced people that you're going to lobby to change your neighbourhood. And on that note, I think it's a good note to wrap up. Thank you, Peter.
It is. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Get out and vote, everyone.
Get out and vote. And may I say, vote for Peter if you're in Albert Eden. And if you're in the West, then I've been Shane Henderson, and hopefully I will be again. So thank you very much, guys. See you later.
together next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.